Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim daf Lamed Zayin. We are holding on daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis. We are at the two dots at the bottom of the page. Melamdo Medrash Halachas Hagadus Avloy Lamdenu Mikra. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Le'ila Nishmas, his mother, called the Basimcha Le'a Shalom, Nisham Hashem Aliyah. We thank him very much for the continued sponsorship each and every day. So today we're going to discuss primarily the topic of getting paid to teach Torah, and we're going to give two different reasons why a person is allowed to get paid to teach Mikra specifically, as opposed to Midrash Halacha Agada, where a person is not allowed to get paid. So we're going to discuss the nature of that issur of getting paid. The Gemara is going to discuss in that context Schar Shabbos Bahavla'a, whether a person can get paid for work that he does on Shabbos, and whether it makes a difference if he's getting paid for the whole week, including some of the work that he's doing on Shabbos. And we're going to talk about how that applies to teaching kids Torah on Shabbos. And we're also going to talk about maybe there's a difference between different types of Torah, that some types of Torah you can teach to children on Shabbos, and others that should not be taught to children on Shabbos. And then at the basic Gemara is going to talk a little bit about where Trup comes from. Where does Tamei Amikra come from? Is that something that's Midal Raisa? Is it derived from a Pasuk, Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai? Where does that come from? Then at the end of the daf, going into tomorrow's daf, we're going to have four reading issues of Tanakh that are Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai. Anomalies in the Tanakh, in terms of how it's read, Kriyan Ksiv, and things like that, that are all Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai. So let's begin. Lamed Vav and Beis, we are at the two dots at the bottom of the page. So the Mishnah had said that a person who takes a neder against his friend that he can't get hanaah from him, milamdo medrash halachas agados avlo yilam denu mikra. You're still allowed to teach him medrash halachas agados. You're only not allowed to teach him mikra, because if you teach him mikra, then you're really giving him hanaah. But if you teach him medrash halachas agados, apparently that's not called that you're giving him hanaah. So mikra my time avlo yilam denu. Why is it that you're not allowed to teach him mikra? Maybe you're going to say mishum dukamahani lei, because you're giving him hanaah when you teach him mikra and you don't get paid for it. Well, Medrashnami Kamanile, when you Torah's Gishmak, you teach anything, he's going to be getting Hana'a. So why would it be mutter to teach him Medrash and not mutter to teach him Mikra? So Amr Shmuel, B'makom Shenotun Sachar ala Mikra Ve'notun Sachar ala Medrash. We must be talking about a place where it was customary for people who teach Mikra to get paid, but people who teach Medrash do not get paid. So you're allowed to teach a medrash because it's not something that you would normally get paid for. So you're not saving the guy any money when you're teaching a medrash for free. But mikra, you're not allowed to teach a mikra because it was customary in that place where people would pay for a mikra teacher. So you're saving him money by teaching a mikra for free. So says Gemara, my paska. But why would the Mishnah make such an akimta? Why would it pick a case where you happen to be in a place where people get paid for teaching mikra, but they don't get paid for teaching medrash? Why not pick a case where it's the opposite, where you're in a place where people get paid to teach medrash, but don't get paid to teach mikra? Or, better yet, pick a case where nobody gets paid for any teaching of Torah, or everybody gets paid for all teaching of Torah. Why would we're really supposed to be learning Nedarim over here about what's called giving Hana, what's not called giving Hana. This distinction has absolutely nothing to do with Nedarim. This distinction is just about a random practice that a particular place has that could go in either direction. So says Mar, no, Hakamashmalan, the Mishnah is telling us something. It's telling us that that's normal. Da'afilu b'makom shenotan sachar ala mikra, shari l'mishkal, ala midrash lo shari l'mishkal. That even in a place where people get paid to teach other people Torah, it's only ala mikra that you're allowed to get paid to teach. You're not allowed to get paid to teach medrash, meaning it's what it ought to be, that this minag is the proper minag, that you're allowed to get paid to teach mikra, but you're not allowed to get paid to teach medrash. The Ran elaborates that even though mikra din, a person is allowed to teach mikra bischar, he's allowed to get paid for mikra, there were places that were machmir that even taught mikra only bechinam in order as a siyag, lest they come to teach medrash bischar as well. And in those places, a madir is allowed to teach a mudar mikra because he's not being mahanahim, because they were makabal that chumrah, that that they're not going to get paid for Mikra, and therefore they have to teach it Bechinam. But the Gemara is saying that even in a place that does not have such a Chumrah, that have never accepted upon themselves this Chumrah not to teach, not to get paid for Mikra, and they do get paid for Mikra, so it's usur for the Madir to teach the Mudar Mikra, since he's being Mahanehim, you're still allowed to teach a Medrash, because that, it's usur to get Schar Me'ikra Din. So even if, you say, oh, but it's the Minhag, no, it's a Minhag to violate an Isra, then that's not, that's not subject to Minhag. To get Schar for Limud Medrash, that's going to be usur no matter what, and therefore, whenever you teach Medrash, it's considered to be a violation of getting Hana'a. So the Ran explains further over here, that since there's no Isra to be, for the Madir to be Malamed, the Mudar, even though the Mudar is Nenna from the Limud itself, that's not included in the Isra, meaning when we talk about Medrash, where you're not allowed to get paid, and since you're not allowed to get paid, you're allowed to teach it to the other guy for free, what do we do with the fact that he really enjoys it, he loves learning Medrash, and it's very exciting to him, but that's Mitzvah Zlav Lehanasin, that's not called that you're giving him Anah, that's covered under Mitzvah Zlav Lehanasin. Then the Ran quotes Yerushalmi, that even though you're not allowed to get paid for Limana Medrash, but you're allowed to get paid for being Mevatel Mimalachto at the time that you're teaching a Medrash, meaning if you would otherwise be working at that time, and now you have to take off from work in order to teach the guy Medrash, you can be compensated for the missed time at work. So the Rush in his Psakim writes that since that's the case, if the Madir is Mispatel Mimalachto at the time that he's teaching the Mudar Medrash, he's allowed to get Schar Batala, and he's not allowed to teach the Mudar Bechinam, because he'd be getting Hana'a from that. The Schar Batala would be, that itself would be, if he would forego that Schar Batala, that itself would be considered giving the guy Hana'a. Then he would not be allowed to teach a Medrash. Meaning if you could construct a case where a person should be getting paid to teach Medrash, then he wouldn't be allowed to teach that to someone who's Mudar Hana'a. And it's very easy to construct such a case where he's taking off from work to teach the guy Medrash, so then he should be getting paid. So then you wouldn't be allowed to do it with the Mudar Hana'a. That's how the Rush points out. So says Gemara, okay, but what's the basis for this din? Maishna Medrash Shelo, why is it that you're not allowed to get paid to teach Medrash to other people? The Chsiv, because the Pasuk says, Va'osi tziva Hashem be'isahi l'lameid eschem, that we learn that Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to teach Torah to Klal Yisrael. Uksiv, and there's another Pasuk, Re'eli madati eschem chukim u'mishpatim kasher tzivani Hashem. So it sounds like there was an additional tzivoy to Moshe Rabbeinu to teach Klal Yisrael for free and not to get paid to teach Klal Yisrael. And therefore we darshin ma'ani bechinam, just like I taught you, says Moshe Rabbeinu, I taught Klal Yisrael for free. Afatem nami bechinam. So too, when you teach other people, when you transmit the Torah, it should also be bechinam. So from there we learn that you're not allowed to get paid to teach Medrash. So it's a kasha, because that same reason, mikra nami bechinam. So then Moshe Rabbeinu taught us everything bechinam. If that's the basis of why you're not allowed to get paid to teach Medrash, that should be the basis why you should not be allowed to get paid to teach mikra either. So why is it that you are allowed to get paid to teach mikra? So this is the fundamental machlokas of this daf. This is the primary focus of this daf, is this machlokas that we're about to have. Why is it you're allowed to get paid to teach Mikra? Machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Amar Schar Shimur. Rav says the reason you're allowed to get paid to teach Mikra is because you're not getting paid for the actual learning. That in a chinami, just like Moshe was bechinam, we have to be bechinam. But who do you teach Mikra to? The Mishnah tells us Ben Chamesh LeMikra. You teach little children Mikra. Little children need to be babysat. You need to make sure they're not running into the street. You need to make sure they're not doing anything dangerous. So you're getting paid for that, for Schar Shimur, to watch the children. Once you're watching them, you might as well keep them occupied and teach them Mikra. You might as well teach them something. But you're not getting paid for the teaching. The teaching has to be for free. However, Medrash is something that you teach only to older people who don't need such Shimur. Even if they're children still, they're a little more mature, they're not running into the street, they're not harming themselves, and they don't require as much Shimur. So for them, you're not allowed to get paid, because the whole payment would be only for the teaching, and you're not allowed to get paid to teach Torah. So that's Rav's answer. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Schar Pisuk Ta'amin, that the reason you're allowed to get paid to teach Mikra to other people is because the payment is not for the actual limud, the payment is for teaching of trup, which is not midaraisa, and therefore is not included in the chukam and mushpatim that Moshe Rabbeinu said that he was told he has to teach bechinam. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, I was told by Hashem that I have to teach bechinam, but that's only the chukam and mushpatim. When it comes to the trup, I was never told that I have to teach that bechinam. So when you teach mikra, mikra comes with trup, and you're allowed to get paid for teaching the trup. So a bar mitzvah teacher or something is allowed to get paid. Or if you teach kids with trup when you're teaching in young elementary school, which is a good idea probably, although they don't do that so much, but it's a good idea. So then you're allowed to get paid for that, and that's all, obviously that doesn't apply to Medrash. So the nafkamina between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan's reason is a very pashut nafkamina. The Ran points out, what if you're teaching mikra to a gadol, to someone who's an older student? That according to Rav, it should be also for him to get paid because he doesn't require any shimur. Whereas the taimim, according to Rav, is midaraisa, and you're not allowed to get paid even for a piece of taimim. Whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan, you're allowed to get paid for the limud of taimim, the limud of trup, and even by gadol you'd be allowed to get paid for such a thing. And how do we paskin? So that's a big nafkamina la halacha. If you're teaching chumash to an adult, so the Ran points out that la halacha, the Gemara Maseches Beitza tells us, so whenever you have machlokes Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan, we always paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. So memela, it would turn out that you're allowed to get paid to teach a gadol when you're teaching him mikra, because the whole point is that we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, that it's all about schar pisuk taimim, and you're allowed to get paid for schar pisuk taimim. It's therefore not so surprising that the Rambam in Hilchos Nedarim and Perek Vav Halacha Zayin paskins exactly that. He paskins that if you're teaching an adult mikra, you're allowed to get paid. That it's not about children versus adults, it's about mikra versus medrash. So now the Gemara brings a raya that Rabbi Yochanan is correct based on our Mishnah, and it's a kasha on Rav. Tanan, it's said in our Mishnah that if you were madir es chaveru, that lo yilamdenu mikra, you're not allowed to teach the guy that you were madir mikra. Who are we talking about over here? Are we talking about an adult or are we talking about a kid? So bishlam leman diyamr schar piece of time imhainu de lo yilamdenu. If you're going to say that it's all about teaching trup, it doesn't matter if it's an adult or a kid, you're not allowed to teach a mikra because people get paid to teach trup, and if you're teaching it to him for free, then you're giving him anah. Elman diyamr schar shimur. But if you assume like Rav that the whole reason you're allowed to get paid to teach mikra is because you're babysitting, well, you took a neder anah against your friend. Your friend doesn't need any babysitting. Gadol bar shimuru, is he's a gadol? Why would it be also to teach him bechidam? He's not being mahanim at all because he doesn't require any shimur. So, and you're not allowed to get paid anyway to teach him Torah. So says the Gemara, a major rukimta in our Mishnah bekatan katani. Our Mishnah is not talking about an adult. Our Mishnah is talking about when you were madir, a child. Says the Gemara, is that really a plausible explanation of our Mishnah? Iba katan ema sefer. You read right in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, oh, aval melamed es banav mikra. You're allowed to teach, you know, you're madir es chavero, you could teach his children mikra. So katan bar banimu, if he himself is a katan, in all likelihood he does not have children. It's not possible for him to have children. So says the Gemara, you're right. Chisur mechzer v'achiktani. We have to add in a detail into our Mishnah so that the Resha and the Sefer are not a stira to each other, and the Resha could still be talking about a katan. The lo yilam denu mikra, that's bekatan. You're not allowed to teach a mikra, it's only by a katan, because you're giving him of babysitting him. Vim haya gadol, and if he was a gadol, then melamdo, lo ulaban of mikra, then you'd be allowed to teach him, not just him, as children also, you'd be allowed to teach mikra. The reason you're allowed to teach him is because you're not being mahanahim, because he's a gadol and does not require shimur, so there's no babysitting required. The reason you're allowed to teach his children mikra, even though they do require babysitting, is because you're not doing that for the mudar, you're doing that to be mekayim of the mitzvah of teaching Jewish people Torah. So you're teaching Jewish children Torah, that's not something that you're giving hana'a to the father. He may enjoy the fact that you're teaching his children Torah, but that's certainly not your kavana. That's certainly not your intention. The poskim discuss whether a father is allowed to teach his son Aleph Beis before the father said Birchas HaTorah. And the issue is learning Aleph Beis also called Limud HaTorah, or is that just like a hechsher for Limud HaTorah, that you simply can't learn Torah until you know Aleph Beis, until you know how to read? So, meaning, is learning Aleph Beis part of Limud HaMikra, or is that just a hechsher for Talmud Torah? So the Rama writes in Yerideas in Reish Mem Hei, Umikol Makom, Miyad Shiyah Ben Gimel Shad Meshleimos, Melamdim Osios HaTorah, Kadesh Yargal Atzmo Likros B'Torah. That as soon as a child is 3 years old, start teaching him Aleph Beis. When he comes to shul, you open up the Siddur, and to that first page, and have him start identifying the letters, start teaching him the Aleph Beis. When as soon as he's 3 years old, says the Rama, says the Gra, Eini Mevin Sichoso, Tamiyat Shemaschel Daber Chayiv. The Gra says, 3? As soon as he knows how to talk, you have to start teaching him Aleph Beis. So you see from the Gra that the Limud HaOsios is similar to Limud HaTorah, because where does it ever say, as soon as he can speak, you have to teach him Aleph Beis? No, what the Gemara says is, as soon as a child can speak, you have to start telling him Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. You have to start teaching him Torah. His very first words should include things that relate to Torah, the first pasuk of Kriya Shema, things like that. So just like you have to teach him those psukim as soon as he knows how to speak, so the Gra assumes that you also have to teach him Aleph Beis as soon as he knows how to speak. So the Gra seems to be equating Aleph Beis with Limud HaTorah. The Chida in the Shiuri Bracha writes on the Din that you're not allowed to teach a non-Jew Torah, that you're not even allowed to teach him the Osios. And he says it's an Avon Gadol, teach him the Osios. That's huge, right? I mean, that would mean if you run a country where the spoken language is Hebrew, and you have non-Jews living in that country, you wouldn't be allowed to teach them the basic language of the country. They wouldn't be allowed to learn how to read Aleph Beis. They should be, we shouldn't be able to teach them to be literate. So for the Dvar Shmuel derives that apparently it's called Torah. Aleph Beis is also called Torah. In the Tshuvas Pri Asada, he brings the Shiuri Bracha and he says that the Osios Aleph Beis are not they're not just Stam letters. They have actual Kedusha to them. So Rav Sternbach in his Tshuvas and Chelik Dalet Simin Yud Zayin in Tshuvas Vanagos says we could bring a raya from the fact that it says in our sugya that you're allowed to teach Tinokos Mikra Bischar because it's Schar Shimur or Neginos who Pisuk Taimim. Why doesn't it just say that you're allowed to teach them Schar Limud Aleph Beis, that you could get paid for that because that's not included in teaching them Mikra? I mean, if you want to come up with a case where you're teaching children and you're allowed to get paid for it, so instead of giving these answers, oh, you're teaching Trop, you're allowed to get paid for Trop, you're just babysitting, you're allowed to get paid for babysitting, just say you teach them Aleph Beis. It's the first thing they need to learn anyway. And that's not teaching them Torah. Ella, it's Muchach, says Rav Sternbach, that that's also called teaching them Torah. However, he says maybe the Raya is not such a great Raya, because maybe we're talking about you're teaching children who are a little bit older, who already know the Aleph Beis. However, he anyway says it is considered Limud HaTorah, because in each and every Os there is Sodos HaTorah, meaning those who study Kabbalah know that there's a lot of depth in each letter of the Torah, in each letter of the Aleph Beis, and therefore learning the Aleph Beis itself is also called Limud HaTorah. So if a father wants to teach his son Aleph Beis, it's probably a good idea to say Birchas HaTorah prior to doing so. Another interesting comment that the Chida has in the Shema Gedolim is he says that Bialdusi, he saw a Sefer Tuv Tam, that the Tamim and the Nekudos were made after the Talmud by the Chachmei Tveria. He says that he saw in a certain Sefer that all of the Trap came post-Talmudic era. So says the Chida, the Imo Haslicha, Kiyem Alacha L'Moshe Misinai. He says, forgive me, sir, that is not true. It is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, because the Gemara Nedarim says that it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, and we know that that Rashbi, Rosh Hashim Bar Yochai, the Rebbe of Rebbe, was Mechaber, the Mishnah, and the Tikkuni Zohar speaks about the Taibim and the Nekudos. So in the Tikkuni Zohar, which is also, he assumes, from Talmudic times or earlier, there is the Zoom conked out for a second there. There is discussion about the trap. So if the trap is part of the Torah, so the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if someone is kari b'Torah and he makes a mistake, b'dikduk os achas, you have to be machzirim, you have to correct the Baal Korei. Says the Ramah, if he makes a mistake in trap or benikud, you do not have to be machzirim, but korin bo. We tell him, look, you got to prepare better, but you don't have to correct him when he makes a mistake in trap. However, the Mishnah Berurah writes in the name of the Shulchan Atzei Shittim that the Ramah is only talking about when the mistake in trap doesn't change the meaning of the word. But sometimes a mistake, even in trap, will change the meaning of the sentence or the meaning of the word. A misplaced esnachta or something like that could sometimes change the entire sentence structure, not just esnachta, a lot of the trap can change the entire sentence structure and change the entire. Of course, you have to be a Talmud Chacham to be able to know when that actually happens and to be quick enough to chap when it's actually happening, that it's changing the meaning of the words, but then you'd be machzirim. Not like the people think that if a person read the shame, then we're not machzirim when he's tub in Negina. If he makes a mistake in Negina that's going to change the meaning, then we are machzer him. There is a daya in Poskim that even b'dieved, even if it changes the meaning, you're still yotze, and therefore you shouldn't even correct him when he makes a mistake that does change the meaning. There is another daya in Poskim that only by Kriyas HaMegillah we don't make him go back when he makes a mistake in trap, but by Kriyas HaTorah he does have to go back, and that's what the Bir Agra says, that even a mistake in trap will make him go back, and that was the hanhaga of Reb Chaim Brisker. But the Pashtus is the middle ground, right? So there is a sheet that says even when it changes the meaning, you don't correct him, because every time you correct him, Baal Korei, you have to realize that if you're being extra machmir correcting the Baal Korei, it could be you're being extra mekel about being malbim pnei chaver barabim, and that's not proper to embarrass somebody for no reason to make these corrections and to frustrate him for no reason. And then there's the other extreme that you correct on everything. That's from Chaim Soloveitchik, that you correct even on a mistake in trap. And we assume, like the Mishnah Berurah says, that you only correct on a mistake where it's going to change the meaning. You don't correct on a mistake that will not change the meaning. Even the shita that holds that you never correct, that you would not correct on a mistake even when it does change the meaning, will say that there's an exception to that rule. That's what the Beis Yosef quotes, that there's a day that if it's mecharif or megadif, if he says something that's absolute apikorsis, instead of reading Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, he read Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Acher. Right, so that, okay, that you gotta correct, you can't let that go by. That Lekulei Alma, a person would have to correct. Okay, back in our Gemara, so Gemara brings an additional raya to Rabbi Yochanan that you're allowed to get paid to teach Mikra because of the trap. So an akasha on Rav that you're only allowed to get paid to teach Mikra because they're young children who require babysitting. So Meisvei, the Gemara asks, Itinokos lo korin b'tchila b'Shabbos. That when it comes to children, you should not teach them Mikra Psukim for the first time on Shabbos. Their first run through of the Psukim should not be on Shabbos. Elashonin Berishon. But they could chazar on Shabbos, shonin berishon. They could do their first chazara on Shabbos if they've already learnt it during the week. So bish lama leman yamar schar piece of timeim. I understand very well according to Rabbi Yochanan that the reason you're allowed to get paid to teach mikra is because you're teaching trap. Then it makes sense that you're not allowed to teach them the first time on Shabbos, because the major trouble and difficulty in learning is the first time. So it would turn out that you're getting paid for your Schar Shabbos, for what you're doing on Shabbos. But if you already taught them prior to Shabbos, then you could chazar on Shabbos, because on the chazar it doesn't take as much. It doesn't take as much effort on the second time around. So that's why you're not really getting paid for that anyway. So you could teach that to children on Shabbos. Meaning from a Schar Shabbos perspective, from a perspective of getting paid for work on Shabbos, if the whole reason you're getting paid to teach children anyway is only the Pisuk Taimim, so that's really you're getting paid to teach them the first time. You're not getting paid to teach them the second time. The second time, it's a quick run through anyway. They already pretty much know it. But if the reason you're getting paid has nothing to do with the difficulty of the limud and what they're learning and how they're learning, it's just babysitting. So I don't care whether it's a difficult lesson or an easy lesson, you're getting paid to babysit. So my aim, why would there be a difference between the difficulty of what they're learning? Why would it be that you're not allowed to teach them the first time? Oh, because that's a difficult limud, but you're allowed to have them chazer and teach them at a chazer because that's an easy limud. What's it got to do with babysitting? Either way, they're not running in the street. Ha'ika schar shimur de Shabbos. You're still getting schar Shabbos to watch them. So says Moel Taimech, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, that the basis of the heter to teach mikra and get paid for it is because of the trap, we still can't explain this brisa that you're not allowed to teach the children new things on Shabbos. Schar pisuk b'Shabbos mi aser? Wait, do you mean to tell me you're not allowed to teach trup and get paid for it on Shabbos? Is that a violation of schar Shabbos? If you have a yeshiva katana and they're open 7 days a week, like in the old city, right? They have the yeshiva that's open 364 days a year, except for Tisha B'Av, I think, right? So you're teaching kids every single day of the week, including Shabbos. Sometimes you walk through the streets of the old city and you hear them singing the psukim from the, it's the most beautiful thing, from inside the buildings when the windows are open. So schar pisuk b'Shabbos. So mi aser, is that really going to be aser? Havlahi. There's a rule in schar Shabbos that you're allowed to get paid for work done on Shabbos when it is b'havlaa, when the work does not involve any malacha. So the only issue is schar Shabbos. A lot of times people get confused about that, right? Meaning if you're getting paid for doing malacha, you're asking someone to do malacha for you. That's amir l'nachri. That's other things. If you ask a non-Jew to do malacha, so that there's you can't ask someone to do malacha for you. That's a din in malacha, and then also you're not allowed to make money on Shabbos. That's a din in schar Shabbos. Schar Shabbos has a heter called havla'a. I mean, Amir al-Nachri doesn't have a heter called havla'a. There may be a different heter called a kablan, that you're not paying him to work on Shabbos, you're paying him to work all the time, but you're not. So someone came over to me recently and he said he was doing construction in his house, and he asked, can you have the construction workers come on Shabbos and work on Shabbos also? So I said, no, you should not do that. So a fellow came up to me after davening one day, and he said, it doesn't make any sense. Balkori gets paid, a chazan gets paid, all these guys get paid, and the youth leaders get paid, everyone gets paid, and then you can't have a construction worker get paid. And before I could answer, he was gone. Like, he didn't want an answer. So there's a difference between, these are two totally different areas of halacha. There's schar Shabbos, that it's just making money on Shabbos, but it has nothing to do with malacha, right? A youth leader or something like that, you have to deal with the schar Shabbos issue. He's not only going to get paid for work that he does on Shabbos, but a heter in schar Shabbos is havla'a, that if you also do work during the week, so you can get one big paycheck for everything you do during the week and on Shabbos. It's not matter you to do malacha yourself or to ask other people to do malacha. That's a separate issue. That has to be dealt with on separately. So anyway, so schar pisuk Shabbos can't be usher. That's havla'a. V'havla'a mishrashari. Havla'a is totally mutter. Detanya hasokra sapol lishmar satinok. If a person hires a worker to just watch his tinok. And now the way some of the Rishonim understand our sugya is that everything we're about to say about all these hiring workers relates to matters of kedusha. So what does it mean you hire a worker to watch a tinok? It means that you're watching the tinok from tumah, so that tinok will be able to be involved in collecting the water for the para aduma. The Mishnayos in the third parak of para tell us that they used to raise children in an area on a cliff where you know that there's no risk of tumah, and then when it came time to collect the waters of the Paraduma, they'd ride on the back of these very wide animals where there was no concern of Tumas HaTom, of Tumah that they were riding over, and then they'd go down to the water and they'd take a bucket of water and they'd use that for the Efer Para, and they went to such a great extent. The Gemara in Yuma Daf Ches tells us they made all these great chumras in terms of the gathering of the Efer Para and the water for the Efer Para bitahara, because they would be metame the Kohen, would be soref the Para. So as a way of compensating for the fact that they introduced tumah to the process, they had all these chumras in terms of tara. Why would they introduce tumah to the process? Why would they be metame the kohen asarif as hapara? That was lahotzi miliban shel tzedukim, because the tzedukim said that a tful yom is possible to be engaged in para aduma. So dafka to show the tzedukim that they're wrong, we'd be metame the kohen asarif as hapara. Wait till he became a tful yom and then have him do it, just to show, just to teach that halacha that a tful yom is allowed to do it. But because we were so makel to introduce tumah, so we introduced this serious level of tara. So the people who are in charge of watching these children and making sure that they don't leave this cliff upon which they're being raised, to make sure that they don't become tameh, or lishmar sapara, or to watch the para aduma itself, because the para aduma itself, if it's Allah aleha, all, if someone puts a yoke on the back of the para aduma, or if it develops a mum, it's going to be possible, or lishmar sazraim, someone who's in charge of watching the zraim that are needed for the karban omer. In all of these cases, if he's a schir yom, that's receiving payment for each day separately, ain't no schar Shabbos. You're not allowed to give him payment for what he does on Shabbos. Lefichach, and therefore, im avdu, if they lost the items that they're watching on Shabbos, eino chayv b'akhar yusan. So they're not responsible to pay for it because they're not really getting paid for watching on Shabbos. They have a din of a shomer chidam who's pater from gneiv aveda. Vim hayasach your Shabbos, but if you hire that worker to work for the whole week and he gets paid only once a week for all of the work that he does the whole week and not for each day independently, or schir chodesh, or he gets paid once a month, or schir shana, you hire him for the year, he gets paid for the year, or schir shavua, you hire him for a whole shemitah cycle, he gets paid for that, no schar Shabbos. Then you're allowed to give him the schar Shabbos, because the schar Shabbos is not standing independently, it gets swallowed up in the payment of the rest of the week. So since that's a heter to receive payment for the work he's doing on Shabbos, mele is a shomer sachar, and therefore if he gets lost, he's going to be chayiv b'achri yusan. So based on this kasha, the Gemara proves that it can't be that the reason for the Isser to teach Tinokos a new thing on Shabbos is because of the Isser of Schar Shabbos. You're allowed to take Schar Shabbos if it's Muvla with the Schar of the rest of the week. So you can't bring a raya from our Brisa that if the Schar is mutter to take for Limun Mikra for Tinokos, it's Schar Shimur or it's Schar Pisuk Taimim. Should not be a raya at all. So once the Gemara rejects this reason for Schar Shabbos, the Gemara explains two reasons why it is that it's us to teach Tinokos something new on Shabbos. Meaning we thought it's us to teach Tinokos something new on Shabbos because that's what you're getting paid for in its initial of Schar Shabbos. So he said, no, no matter what you're teaching kids on Shabbos, you're allowed to get paid. You're teaching them the whole week. You don't get paid by the day. You get paid by the week. You get paid by the month. So from a Schar Shabbos perspective, there's no problem over here. So why is it that the Braisa says you're not allowed to teach children something new on Shabbos? So two possibilities. El Gabe Shabbos, Hainu Taim Madein Korin B'tchila. The reason you're not allowed to teach them new Pesukim on Shabbos is Mishum Diyifnu Avhason Diyanuki L'mitzvasa D'Shabbata. The fathers of these children like to hang out with them on Shabbos, and if they're learning new things on Shabbos, the fathers are not going to want to be mevatel them from learning, and they're going to be mevatel the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos, meaning it's a time that families can spend together, and they're not going to be able to spend time together if the parents are worried about pulling the kids out of school, and the kid needs to be learning in school. But if they're just chazering what they learned already, then the fathers don't have to worry so much about being mevatel them, and they'll be able to play with them, they'll be able to spend time with them, and it's not going to be a bittul mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. That's how the Ran understands. Tosfos and the Rush say a little differently, that if the Tinokos are going to learn new things on Shabbos, it's going to take a long time. It's going to take a full day of yeshiva because of the difficulty of the learning, and the fathers are going to be waiting to start their suda till the kids get home from yeshiva, and that's going to be a bittul mitzvah on Shabbos. But if they're just learning, chazering what they already learned, so it doesn't take that long, so they'll go for a few minutes, they'll go chazer, and then they'll quickly get home, and there'll be plenty in time for the Su'udah Shabbos. A second reason why we don't teach children something new on Shabbos, v'iba yiseima, mishum debishabata ochen v'shasin. Children eat and drink on Shabbos more than they do during the week, v'yakir alein alma, and therefore, it causes them to be a little more tired, a little more, a little less focused, k'damar Shmuel, shinu v'esat chilis chole me'ayin. That in general, when you change your eating habits, you're just out of sorts. Meaning, why is it that you need a nap on Shabbos afternoon, but you don't feel like you need a nap every other day of the week? You know, what changes that? When you eat heavy and whatever, so you just feel a little more tired, just feel different when you're eating differently. So we don't want to impose upon the children to learn something new on a day that they're feeling different because their diet is changing for that day. So now the Gemara explains the Machlok Samurai we had on Amud Aleph about why it is that you're allowed to get paid to teach Mikra. Is it because of babysitting, or is it because of teaching traps? So says Gemara, "Man, you have a schar piece of time." According to Rabbi Yochanan, that the reason you're allowed to get paid is because you're getting paid to teach the trap. My time alone is schar shimur. What was wrong with the reason that you're getting paid to watch the children? So kasavar banos mika bayin shimur, because Rabbi Yochanan holds that the reason of shimur works when you teach someone who requires shimur, but when you teach a young girl, Girls don't require shimur. They're much more well-behaved. They're less likely to hurt each other, to run into the streets, do things like that. So it's not going to help. Meaning you shouldn't be allowed to get paid to teach little girls. You should only be allowed to get paid to teach little boys if it's about schar shimur. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan had to say that it must be about something else. It must be that the reason you're allowed to get paid is not about babysitting, because that reason of babysitting would not apply to girls. It would only apply to boys. The Karanora raises the obvious question that a woman that's hidira ba'ana'a, belavachi it's asr to teach her Torah b'chinam, because you're allowed to get paid to teach her Torah, because the whole issue of getting paid to teach Torah is that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, just like I'm chiyuv to teach you b'chinam, so too, when you have a chiyuv to be malami Torah, you have to teach it b'chinam. But that's only when there's a chiyuv of limud Torah. But if a girl has no chiyuv of limud Torah, then there's no chiyuv to teach her b'chinam. So then you're allowed to get paid to teach the Torah. So that's a little bit difficult. So it says Gemara L'man Yomar, and according to Rav, that it's char shimur, that the reason you're allowed to get paid to teach Mikra is that you're really getting paid to babysit. My time alomer schar piece of time. And why didn't Rav say that you're getting paid for the trap? So kasavar piece of time da raisahu, because he holds that piece of time is minatora, and therefore it's included in ma'ani b'chinam afatem b'chinam. It's included in Moshe Rabbeinu's directive to Klal Yisrael that just like I taught for free, you also have to teach for free, because it's part of the Torah. So what emerges from this Gemara is that the entire iser of getting paid to teach Torah is only on teaching those parts of Torah that are midaraisa, but not those parts of Torah that are midrabanan. And that's the reason that Rabbi Yochanan allows getting paid for learning trap, is because he holds that trap is not minat Torah. So based on that, Rama paskins in Yoredeya Sim Reish Mem Vav Sif Hey, that all chidushim and takanos midrabanan that you teach, you're allowed to get paid to teach such things. So if you're learning, Maseches Brachos, where all the dinim in Maseches Brachos, Brachos for the most part are midrabanan, except for Kriya Shema, whatever. So that's fine. You're allowed to get paid to teach such things. So Rav Shachter said that Rav Salvechik, after he gave Shir Moria for many years on Maseches Brachos, he said, lest you tell me that when we learn Maseches Brachos, we're only doing Talmud Torah Midrabanan, because all the dinim that we're learning are only Midrabanan. He says, no, it's Talmud Torah Midaraisa, even though you're only learning dinim Midrabanan. It's not only when you learn Kachim is the Talmud Torah Midaraisa. And that's why the Karen Ora says he doesn't understand why this Ramah, that it can't be that you're allowed to get paid to teach Dinim Darabanan. Every Din Darabanan is also part of the mitzvah Daraisa of teaching Torah, because of Lo Sasur, it's automatically included. So very difficult to understand that Ramah. So now the Gemara proves that Trup is in fact Minat Torah. Damar Avika Barav and Amar Avchanan Olam Rav, May Dichsiv, Vayikru B'Sefer Torah Salkim, Mefarash V'Som Sechel V'Yavinu B'Mikra. So Vayikru B'Sefer Torah Salukim Ze Mikra. That phrase is referring to the Mikra itself. Mefarash Ze Targum. That's a reference to the Targum. V'Som Sechel Elu HaPsukim. That's the Nekudos that are Mafsik between one Pasuk and the next to separate the Inyanim. V'Yavinu B'Mikra Ze Piece of Taimim. That's the Nigun of the Taimim. That's the trap. V'Amrila Elu HaMesoros. And some say that it's the Chaseros and Yeseros that we have that are given to us B'Mesora. So you see that piece of Taimim is already mentioned in the Ksuvim, so that must be a Raya. If it's mentioned in Nehemiah, it must be a Raya that it comes from earlier, and that it's therefore Mida Oraisa. So says the Gemara, once we're on this topic of piece of Taimim and other such things, so there happen to be four whether you call them anomalies in Mikra, or four different elements of how we read Chumash, how we read the Torah, that are Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Mikra Sofrim, V'itor Sofrim, V'karyon V'lo Ksivan, U'Ksivan V'lo Karyon, Halach L'Moshe Mitzrayim. What are these four categories? So Mikra Sofrim, Eretz Shamayim Mitzrayim. All of those words, the Nekudos are different on those words if it's in the middle of the Pasuk versus if it's at the end of a Pasuk or at an Asnachta. Asnachta is the equivalent of the end of the Pasuk. In the middle of the Pasuk, it would be exactly like we just said, Eretz Shamayim Mitzrayim. At the end of the Pasuk or at an Asnachta, it would be Oretz Shamayim and Mitzrayim, right, with a kamat instead of a patach. Itur Sofrim means sometimes there's an extra word that's unnecessary for the Pasuk that's just added into the Pasuk. Achar Tavoru, Achar Telech, Achar Teasef, kid musarim achar nognim, meaning that in all those psukim, the word achar doesn't need to be there. It could have said, instead of saying v'sadu libchem achar tavoru, it could have said v'sadu libchem v'tavoru. It could have said tisko shivas yamim v'teyasev. Not v'achar. Achar doesn't add anything. So the achar is just to be miyape the lashon, to make it a more beautiful lashon. Or in the pasuk tzitkascha kareel, that the oschaf is ki harre, is it should have been tzitkascha harre, just like mishpatecha tom rabba. So the oschaf is a yipoy lashon. It's a way to make it more beautiful lashon. Karyan velok sivan, where do we have words that are read but are not written? So like the word pras from the pasuk debelechto, where it's debelechto lahashiv yado benahar, where we add the word pras even though it's not written in the pasuk. Ish tekasher yishal ish bedvar elukim in sefer Shmuel Beis. Boim dinivnisa, where we say hine yom boim nu'um Hashem v'nivnisa yir la'Hashem, where we add that word even though it doesn't appear. La depleta, where the pasuk in Yirmiyahu says Hashmiel bavel rabim kol derech hakeshes chanu ala asaviv al yehi la pleta, that we add the word la even though it's not written there. Es to hugad hugad, that the hugad hugad li kol asher asisa es chamoseich. Eli de Hagoren in the pasuk in Rus, Vatomri Eli Kol Asher Tomri Eli Ese. The word Eli does not appear. Eli da Saorim again in Rus, Vatomri Sheish Hasaorim Hasaorim Haela Nasanli Ki Amar Eli Al Tavo Rekam Al Chamoseich. So that word Eli does not appear. Halim Karyon Vlo Kasvan. Those are all Kriz and Oksiv Uksavan Vlo Karyon, and the words that are written but we do not read. No de Yislach Zos da Hamitzva. Yidroch da hadorech, chamesh de paas negev, im de kigoel, and halin ksivan velokarion. All of those are ksiv velokri. Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the top of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. Have a great day, everybody.